All right, testing 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is North Shore Today for Thursday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. And in today's program, we'll hear from Gloucester City Councilor-at-Large, Greg Verga.
I'd like you to do it, the sticker campaign. So I did, and 2,200 votes for a write-in campaign is not so bad. You know, I considering one person, I got more than double what one of the people on the ballot actually got, and then two people who finished ahead of me were just a couple hundred votes ahead of me. So I'm pretty pleased with the result.
Greg Verga and a variety of topics today on North Shore Today. Of course, we also have a lot of playoff sports. We'll update folks on that at the a little bit later on in our program, and we'll also tell the folks about our football broadcast schedule for this coming weekend. A lot of big games on Friday night. We'll tell you all about them. And also, we'll wish good luck to all the North Shore teams, including Essex Tech, which is playing on Saturday afternoon down at Malden Catholic. So we'll talk about some other things here coming up a bit later on in the program. But, Rick, we went through, got through Veterans Day yesterday, holiday for the students and the schools and so on, and a number of different observances around the North Shore, and it's great to see. It seems like, I may be wrong, Rick, but at least it seems to me and that we're doing a better job honoring veterans now than we did like 10 or 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I may be wrong, but it just seems like we're, as a country, we're just a little bit more aware of it and making a bigger effort at it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the influx of veterans from the first Gulf War and now from the last, 13 or 14 or 15 years of ongoing conflict in Afghanistan and Iraq has gotten so many more people involved because some of these kids who go away as kids and come back as grizzled veterans don't get jobs, they don't have a place to stay, and so that, you know, so many families are affected by this now that I think there is a much better awareness with our younger veterans as well as a retrospective respect for our older veterans. So yeah, I mean, I watched, was it Channel 5 yesterday, had features on veterans all day long, including the news, and then they had a special at 7 o'clock in the evening. And to me, the slap in the face awareness is the homelessness of some of our younger veterans, and that is pretty freaky, you know, considering the wealth that this nation has. So yeah, I think there is a much better and bigger general awareness of what the armed forces are all about and what takes place with veterans, whether they're you know, 4-year commitment people or whether they're you know, lifelong career armed forces people. Boy, I'm struggling for words today, but yeah, I really am. It's crazy. This cold has gone right through my head. But no, I agree with you. And you know, I think it's a good thing. excuse me. You know, going back generation to generation to generation, you know, going back to World War II, you know, those guys came back as heroes, guys and women. Korean War, same thing. But then it certainly went spiraled downhill. Vietnam, my dad came back and he spit on when he was working at City. He was called a killer and all this other stuff. And then I served during that time period. And it wasn't all that cool to be known as a veteran, but then as a Vietnam veteran. And then I think it all changed. It all changed really in 91, Bill. And since then, it's been good. You know, you see people in uniform treated with respect and at least a little smile. So, you know, I agree with you. I think there's a lot more emphasis on recognizing veterans, on recognizing what people in the armed forces do, and the fact that some people, in fact, have tremendous trauma when they, you know, when they're on duty, and then when they come home, there's not a lot of ways to deal with that. So a very proper awareness, I think, and it's heading in the right direction.
Right, and when I say we're honoring them or more aware of that, I'm by no means trying to say that we're doing too much or we're about right. We can't do enough for our veterans. Let me just be clear about that piece. And so I'm just glad to see that we've kind of turned the corner a little bit on this. And clearly, I think it has to do with the it starts with the wars, and that we're fighting and engaged with. And then it brings me to the event that was held yesterday in Marblehead at Abbott Hall, Congressman Moulton, who served in the Marine Corps from 2002 to 2008, so he was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. And Congressman Moulton had a session. Apparently, about 300 people showed up for this. So it was a packed Abbott Hall in Marblehead yesterday, and to discuss some sort of veterans issues and some of the issues that that people are dealing with. And I read the article in the item today, and they interviewed a number of different veterans, and they all have stories of bravery. They all have they have those stories. They were involved in combat, and one of them was telling about the day that they got shot. He got shot, and what that was like, and then coming back and sharing a few stories that you talked about, Rick. They are at risk for so many things coming back, and the item about issues with alcohol, stopped drinking, I guess 5-6 years ago, something like that, and has been good ever since that time. But they do come back with a lot of concerns and a lot of issues. And like I said, we can't do enough to honor veterans. And I really do applaud Congressman Moulton on this effort. He's a veteran himself, as I pointed out. And I think very sincere about these issues. And there's a front page article with him talking with a World War II veteran. There are not a lot of World War II veterans left, but there are a bunch of them, and they're coming back. And it was kind of a nice thing. And I did try to get over to that, just couldn't do it yesterday. But it was about a 3-hour event yesterday at Abbott Hall on Veterans Day. So I think a very fitting way to have a discussion on veterans issues. And I just hope we can get this Veterans Administration hospital situation cleaned up, because it seems to me that's not getting a lot better. I could be wrong, but there's no excuse for not having that running. That should be a pride. It should be running effectively. It should be a major concern of ours, and if it isn't, it's really a shame after all the information that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and there's a big article in the Times about that forum in Marblehead too, Bill. But yesterday, U.S. Army Sergeant Vianette Ciparini, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name first name correctly. It might be Vianetti, but Sergeant Ciparini is still in the Army. She's a young sergeant. She looks like she's probably in her late 20s, early 30s. And she spoke and said she drove home what she believes, I'm reading from the Times, not Ray Lamont, what she believes is a more important issue confronting veterans and communities serving veterans today. She is quoted as saying, "The worst wounds of war are those that go unseen until it's too late." And then citing a 2013 study by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, Sergeant Ciparini noted that an average, listen to this, Bill, of roughly 22 veterans commit suicide every day. She called for increased awareness of veterans' mental health issues and urged those gathered at Gloucester High School's Benjamin Smith Fieldhouse to reach out to veterans and express their support. And I'm going to quote something, Bill, that she says, and I think it's important, not only for veterans, but also for everybody if we're going to make this a better world. She is quoted as saying, "A simple gesture of taking a veteran out to lunch, a gesture of just thanking them for their service, all of that can be a sign of support." And well spoken. So you're right. A new awareness for us, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's our that was it. Veterans Day, 11/11, November 11, that's just some of the information. And again, it doesn't tell anywhere near the whole story, but it's just it's a great holiday. In a way, it's kind of a nice November is kind of a nice month. Thanksgiving's a terrific holiday, and then you've got Veterans Day. And again, I think that I for many years, I mean, I was in the private sector. I mean, I worked Veterans Day, so it wasn't a holiday or anything like that. But I'm just hoping that people really do get when I talk about people, I'm thinking of young people, middle-aged people, older people, that they do what we've they do those things for veterans. And clearly now I'm hearing that, and I'll tell you, it does make a difference, the little things that people do say in lives and thanking them for their service. It sounds it's a real thing, and it does make a difference. And I was listening to a radio program yesterday, actually two of them, and they were both talking about veterans, which is no surprise on Veterans Day. But there are a lot of opportunities out there to send gifts or send cards to veterans, and You know, I'm really, you know, all those things kind of get glossed over. At, you know, you're busy in your day-to-day life, and you think of that, oh, that would be a nice gesture, but you got all these other things to do, the other charities or whatever. But, you know, I got to try to step up and for us to do something this year on that front, because there are a lot of nice organizations doing good work, kind of supporting veterans over the holidays. And it's, whether it happens at a holiday or whenever, it's just a great way to kind of say thank you for your service and that we are thinking of you. And we do appreciate what you do, which is significant.
Yep, I agree. And one of the things I enjoy the most when I was in the service was just getting mail. Just getting mail. I mean, that's awesome. You have that connection to home. So, yeah, you're right. Anything we can do is positive. Can I change the subject here for 1 second?
Please, yes.
Okay. I was at breakfast yesterday, and Coach Bill Hamer of Beverly High School, former athletic director and football coach, and just an absolute pillar of the community, an icon. I saw Coach Hamer. Hadn't seen him in a while. Great to see him. He looks great. And we did some reminiscing. But one of his friends is a former FBI agent. Station in Boston. This gentleman and his wife were both FBI agents. And I just asked him, and from Missouri, by the way, so I asked him what he thought about the goings on at the University of Missouri. And he said he was not surprised. He said, you know, the race issue in this country is still, it's percolating just below the surface. It's still boiling, and it's ready. He thinks it's ready to pop. And I thought that was quite an interesting observation from a guy from, you know, Missouri, former FBI agent. And he said he was not surprised that college activists were able to pull this off and get the university president fired. So, you know, interesting perspective from someone not from the area but who lives here.
Right. I just think we've missed the boat the last few years on advancing this cause in a way that's real. And I don't know what's real, you know, that how to advance the racial cause, but I think it's there's different layers here. And appearance isn't everything, and so it is a really tricky discussion to go into here. But that's an interesting observation. It really is, and because I don't think we've advanced things at all in the last 8 years. In fact, I'm concerned that we're going the other way. But yet, on the other hand, I also think it's very possible, as this guy is pointing out, or did point out to you, Rick, and maybe I'm making a leap here on this. But because things aren't addressed, as I would maintain they're not fully addressed in a comprehensive way, that there is this thing that could still be percolating. And I think a lot of it is, there's a lot of different issues that layer into this piece. And I'm really concerned that, with the urban areas here, that we're still not advancing. You know, the urban areas are just not flourishing like we want them to be flourishing. The people in these areas are still struggling so much. And now we have this situation where the middle class, Rick, is getting hammered, if I may use that term, from some of our politicians, and income is not rising like it used to as well. And so that puts stresses on working men and women, you know, and families, increased stresses. Let me just put it at that way. And it's just a struggle. So I'm just hoping that something does change here. And the racial piece is huge. But again, I think we kind of, you know, I'm not sure what the best way is to approach this. But I don't think we're dealing with it right now. Is what I would add.
And I would just say we can do better. We can always do better.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we also have Greg Verga coming up here on the program, and I say we get to Greg here. Should we do that?
Let's go.
All right, so just ahead, Greg Verga, and when we come back, we'll also check in and talk about some sports coming up here on MSONewsSports.com. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and this is North Shore Today.
It's time now for a chat with Greg Verga, Gloucester City Councilor at Large. And Greg, welcome back. Kind of a bittersweet day, I suppose. You ran a great campaign for mayor. You got eliminated in September, and you ran what was a pretty good sticker campaign, I think, and didn't quite make it. So maybe a little reflection on that.
Sure. Well, I think we covered the mayor campaign the last few visits here, but the sticker campaign, you know, people were suggesting I do it. Actually, one person suggested it before the election, that whichever of us lost the runoff, do a sticker campaign to run for city council. And then after the election, I told both the local papers I had no interest in doing it, you know, but that was like literally hours after I thought, a surprise loss on, for mayor. And then, you know, some of my colleagues on the council and some other people said, you know, we'd really like you to do it, the sticker campaign. So I did, and 2,200 votes for a writing campaign is not so bad. You know, I've considering one person, I got more than double what one of the people on the ballot actually got, and then two people who finished ahead of me were just a couple hundred votes ahead of me. So I'm pretty pleased with the result.
Good, good. Well, I know it's a tough pill to swallow. It's never fun to play in a contest and lose. I don't care what the contest is. That's not fun. Well, maybe your reflection on the makeup of the new city council, because I believe a first-timer finished third overall with the votes. I'm not sure, but a couple of incumbents at large, you know, were reelected, and then some new people. So maybe your reflections on that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be, relatively speaking, it's going to be an inexperienced council. I mean, we have Joe Schellino coming back for, I think, what would probably be his, because he's had some exits and returns, so I think he's probably going on maybe his sixth term, fifth or sixth term overall.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Steve LeBlanc and Melissa Cox, wards 3 and 2, coming back for their third term. Paul Lundberg coming back for his second term, and then five new members. So that's, you know, that's the majority.
Yeah.
There's new people. And it's similar to my last term on the school committee, where I was on my fourth term. Our vice chair, Amy Beth Healy, was on her second, and everybody else was new. So it's these two occurrences in 10 years tell me there's a need for a charter review and a real charter commission, and we should be looking at staggered terms.
Why is that?
Because it's all in one day. You could have everybody, six members of the council, of the school committee, nine members of the council, and the mayor out and new people in overnight, literally. So the first secular day of January, 16 new elected people taking over government. Whereas if you have staggered terms, like apparently they used to, at least for school committee before my time, you have half up for election, you know, so at one time and then half the next time.
When you had a complete new school committee turnover, were there negative connotations from that?
It was difficult, especially when we're dealing with the pregnancy pact. It was, one of the... There was a lot of controversy going on. The economy was in the crapper at the time, and it was a lot of on-the-job training, you know? And it's... I don't think it's a good thing. I don't. I think it's not a... It is a big deal to change the charter, so let me get that right out there. To create a charter commission is no simple task. You would need signatures from 15% of the registered voters to get this on the ballot, to ask the question, do you want a charter commission? And then you'd have to elect, I think it's seven members to the charter commission. And then they'd have 2 years, so the next election, that they would be turning in their final result for people to vote on the changes to the charter. So I think it's a... And to me, it's non-controversial to say, let's stagger the terms. It's not like we're ousting anybody. It's just, I don't know how they do it, you know, if somebody's elected to a one-year term or a three-year term for the first time around, and then it catches up after that. But it would just make sense. Plus, you don't have, in the case of the council, nine people automatically in re-election mode 18 months into their term. You know, at least you'll have half of them who are focused on the job right through to the end.
A couple of things. Melissa Cox... On election night, in fact, we have the video of her up on our website from last Tuesday. She did say that one of the things that she wished she had known more about was Robert's Rules when she became a city councilor. And to me, I thought that was part of everybody's education was Robert's Rules. I mean, I remember learning about Robert's Rules in high school, but apparently that's not so. And she was just saying, well, one of the things that she hopes to do, you know, with new people is to sort of mentor them and help them around. And I'm sure
right.
That's you know, that's not a bad thing. And I think that's probably the case. You know, it's that way in sports, and I guess it's that way in city councils.
Yeah, when we took over the the year that I was the chair of the school committee, we knew that we're going to have a big turnover. So as we were closing in on the term before that. And so the school committee decided to join the Mass Association of School Committees, which we hadn't had membership in for years. And the reason was we could utilize their training and their hotline to help us out. And it did come in handy for me, a new chairman, and basically four new members, you know, the following term. So there is a training session that occurs between now and the swearing-in day in January with the city clerk and the new members. So... But it's just it's a one, I don't know how many hours this, but it's only one day. And Robert's Rules, I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I'm no expert at Robert's Rules.
No, that's why you have a parliamentarian, usually, right.
Yeah, I mean, the book is, the Robert's Rules book I have is about an inch thick, and it's, you know, it's a little book. There's also a little cheat sheet, which is helpful. But, you know, there are a lot of procedural tricks that help you along if you know what you're doing.
And there's the Internet.
And there's the Internet, yeah.
All right, so any other final thoughts about the election, Greg, before we go on to other topics?
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's a catastrophe. I just don't want that to be the takeaway from this, that because there's such turnover. I think there's opportunity with the turnover. But I do think that it's something that we should look at going forward, trying to prevent this kind of thing in the future.
And Safathia Romeo Taken has been elected mayor in her own right over Paul McGeary. And McGeary, very graceful and eloquent in his congratulations to Safathia when she won. And but he's off the city council as well. So I imagine it's going to be a little different looking from the outside looking in, but you plan on at least paying attention to this stuff, I suppose, the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, well, and I actually just sent Safathia a letter yesterday to, we talked about what I'm doing in the future, because I'm also on the Fisheries Commission, but my Fisheries Commission membership is as the City Council representative. So my term on the committee, on the council, ends the same day as my Fisheries Commission appointment. So I told her, I says, I really would rather step away from the Fisheries Commission. And so after talking to her, she suggested I look at I'm just drawing a blank there, the committee for senior, I'm sorry, I'm just completely drawing a blank on it.
You'll get it back, it'll come.
Yeah, it'll come to me. But to make a long story short, I sent my letter to her saying I'd like to join. And I saw her this morning. She said she's going to put that forward. Mm-hmm. So it shows how interested I am that I can't even think of the name. I feel like an idiot. But
well, you know what? I'm glad to see it happens to someone besides me. So,
but the concept is I am looking forward to stepping away for a bit. You know, I mean, right now being on the council and the subcommittee and the fisheries, it's, you know, at least three nights a week that I'm have an obligation. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to move away, and now I'm playing in a working band, so
there you go.
I can focus on that a little more.
Okay. Any gigs coming up?
Nothing yet. We just had one last Friday, and we're probably going to be setting up some stuff for the new year.
Bedrosian still your drummer?
Oh, that's my other band.
Oh, your other band. Well, excuse me.
Well, yeah.
I didn't know.
I'm in Moonraker, which is, I had hired them for a gig, I think I mentioned before.
Yeah, Dylan Girard's in that, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Their bass player was leaving after that gig, so they asked me to fill in, and then I ended up becoming their full-time
bass. Oh, very nice, very nice.
But, so, Moonraker, if you can find us on Facebook.
It's, I wanted to go to that function the other night that I saw on Facebook. Dylan invited me, and I definitely want to go see him. Former student of mine, great kid, great guy. So good. And I've heard a little bit of that stuff on Facebook, good stuff.
Well, that's the interesting thing, former student of yours. These guys are basically the age of my kids, all right? I'm 47, almost 48, and I think they're 30 and under.
Something, yeah.
And so this last gig started at 9:30 p.m., and it's like, oh, my God. So
I saw a video of the Moody Blues once. It was a biography. And they were talking about when they first got headline status the very first time. They didn't know it, so they went to the arena and they saw that their name was the headliner. And they went on stage at 11 p.m. So it's like, that's back when you and I were young, Maggie. You know. Well, Greg, I certainly hope you stay involved and that you stay part of what we do here, because I'd love to have you as a contributor and as an observer of the local scene. Has there been any significant action with respect to city council during election season, or does city council sort of take a break?
Well, it's not. We don't always take a break during election season. It just seemed that a lot of things that we're working on were put into a holding pattern just by virtue of what they were. You know, the dog ordinance was working its way through, you know, to be presented to us from a citizens group. Now it's being reviewed by an ordinance and administration committee. We're working on a new cell tower ordinance, which is a result of this last semi-controversial one in West Gloucester. and we got a some outside help to help us rewrite that. So that'll be, the new council will probably do the final vote and some public hearings on that. The other big one, obviously, is Fuller School. We voted for it before election season kicked in to put it out to bid, and the bids should be due, I think, any day now. So we'll see what happens.
What's the deal with the house on the back shore?
Okay, there are two proposals put forward, one by Councilor McGeary, one put forward by Councilor Schellino, that would basically make it difficult to have that happen, you know, zoning changes. The planning board is looking at those now. It was before my committee last night. We opted to hold it till we have a recommendation from the planning board. So I know that somebody is planning on buying the property, if they can get a permit, I assume, and build a house, and it will be controversial. I mean,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I
well.
Can say as an outgoing counselor, I think it's the most ridiculous place for someone to propose putting a house.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens there. It's certainly will obstruct the view, but I just think about I go back a long time ago. I think it was the blizzard of '78 when all these houses were washed away in Scituate and Winthrop and Plum Island and all that stuff, and they got government funding, insurance. And I think, you know, you got to be smarter than that. You know, it seems to me, why would you build a house on sand? Now I know you're going to put it up on stilts and all that stuff, but still, the wear and tear right there. But on the other hand, it's a beautiful place, so I don't know. We'll keep us informed about that one.
Right. I don't know if I would necessarily want to move to a new community and be blacklisted right off the bat.
Right. Right.
But I you know, what can I say?
Well, I know I have you know, a family member who's got a beautiful view, and someone is building a house blocking the view of that family.
Yeah.
And so what? I mean, you know, the person owns the property. The person has a right to build there. So
right.
That's the name of that. You know, that's how it goes. I guess, Greg, as we wrap it up here, one thing that I am very cognizant of and aware of as a taxpayer in Gloucester is the energy that Safathia Romeo Taken has. I don't know about her skills as a CEO, you know, and I don't know. I wouldn't have the wherewithal to understand how to run a city. Her popularity is legendary in the city, her energy, I think, is pretty much the same. So Paul McGeary fought the good fight, as did you, and I heard Dave Olson of the Salem News praised all three of you guys before the election, saying how there were three excellent qualified candidates in the city of Gloucester, which made the race all that much more interesting from a media standpoint. But I don't think anybody can deny the energy that Safathia brings to that mayor's office. And the passion for wanting to do good in this city.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Mm-hmm. It's undeniable. And in a sense, when she had a full-time job outside of city government, she was limited in what she could do. So now the benefit is she's got 24/7 focused on on the job of mayor in whatever capacity it is, as opposed to having to do 9 to 5 at the hospital and then go do
right.
That other stuff.
Well, we wish her well, and I imagine there'll be a qualified candidate running against her, if not in 18 months or so, then perhaps after that. But he shall be nameless at this point, Greg.
Yeah. We'll see what the future brings.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Before I let you go, any comments on, I don't know if you watched the Republican debate last night, but any comments on the election, the national election? One thing that I think we should keep an eye on is the grassroots movement. Certainly in Gloucester, there were a lot of first-timers out. It was a very interesting local election. We had some younger generation people, not millennials, but pretty close to it, running this time. And I'm wondering now if that is going to be a nationwide thing. And again, we witnessed the Republican race for president, which is to me a real sideshow. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on all that.
Yeah, well, I think it was good that we actually Joe Orlando, who was elected, is technically a millennial, and Joel Favazza, who got elected to the school committee, also a millennial, and I think it's good in about time. I mean, I wouldn't have been a millennial, but I would have been. We had a different category. I think I'm technically Generation X, but you know, I was in my early 30s when I first ran,
mm-hmm.
And you know, the average age of the council was up there. I mean, we had a few of us in our 40s, then it jumped up to the late 60s and 70s, so there wasn't much in between. So I think it's going to have a pretty good cross section in this next council session. Nationally, I just say it's an embarrassment. I mean, that's one of the, I took a lot of heat during this election. Some people didn't want to support me because I was of my association, I think that's the word they used, with the Republicans. And it's like, well, I'm not associated with the Republicans, nor am I associated with the Democrats. I purposely changed my enrollment from Democrat to unenrolled because of, in direct response to what was going on in Washington, with the extremists on the from the Tea Party on the right and the extremists on the progressive side on the left, and all the moderates just being forced out in primaries, you know. So we're left with, for the most part, two parties that are just two polar opposite, and they just don't even talk to each other. And it's an embarrassment for this country, and nothing's happening. So basically, if you don't have a on the national level to run for president, if you don't have a billionaire benefactor, forget it. You know, so who is being elected is my question. Is it going to be the candidate or the billionaire who's financing them? So it's a mess. I just hope that the grassroots effort basically catches up and forces some change. But right now, it's big money politics on both sides that are doing it.
We Bill Newell and I talked about it on North Shore today a little bit, and I have a feeling, and it's just a feeling, just a guess, and maybe it's a hope more than anything else, that on either side, either Democrat or Republican or maybe both, I think the candidate hasn't been seen yet, the actual nominee. Mm-hmm. I think there might be a dark horse on either side or both sides. I'm not sure. In other words, that person is still not out there yet.
Yeah.
And I know it's getting late, but you know, you still got plenty of time.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I was just watching a show and they were talking about the stats from the this time in the election cycle for the past couple of elections, presidential elections. And at this time during the 08 election, Obama was 20 points behind Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Obama, I know people have different opinions of Obama, but no one would have expected him to come out of the blue
right,
to win.
Right.
So it's the same concept. Somebody could be out there that's going to emerge, because the sideshow, as you mentioned, that's exactly what it is on the Republican side. I mean, some of these, the one who I think's, in my opinion, the most moderate and straightforward talker is John Kasich from Ohio. But the last moderate, straightforward in the Republican field from 4 years ago, John Huntsman from Utah, was ousted pretty quickly because he didn't meet the crazy factor.
Yeah, Kasich, I agree with that. But okay, so I'm going to invite you back in 2 weeks, no matter what, and let's talk other things if we want to.
Yeah,
if we
great.
Can. Okay, all right. That's Gloucester City Councilor at Large Greg Virga with more stuff on with MSONewsSports.com. MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Today. Bill Newell with Rick Moore. A couple of notes here that Manchester Essex field hockey team is in the Division II North final Saturday. The Linfield volleyball team is in the Division III North final in Tewksbury on Saturday at noontime. Boys soccer, Beverly takes on Masconomet at Manning tonight at 5:30. Also boys soccer, Swampscott versus Wakefield Sunday at 11. And that's a North final. St. Mary's takes on Boston International Saturday at 1, a North final. Girls soccer, Peabody advances with a win. They take on Lincoln Sudbury Sunday at Manning at 5:45 p.m. Danvers in D2 takes on Concord Carlisle and Woburn. That's today at 5 o'clock. That's a semifinal game. Marblehead girls are in the semifinals as well tonight at Manning at 7:30 versus Woburn. D3, North Reading and Fenwick, Sunday at 1:15, a final in Division 1 North, in Division 3 North, excuse me, in St. Mary's, and D5 North take on Manchester Essex, Saturday 3:15 at Manning. So Manning Field has a lot of the soccer. Football tomorrow night, Friday night, we have the Gloucester-Winthrop game from Gloucester with, I guess, the live video, right? And we have the radio game, St. Mary's versus Greater Lowell, the playoff game from Manning Field, Atlanta, and Marty Smith. Be in Marblehead for the with updated reports on Channel B on the Danvers Marblehead game. Rick, anything else?
Well, no, just I did talk with Gloucester football coach Tony Cirilli. That's up on the website. And, you know, Coach Cirilli and Coach Driscoll are both excited about renewing the rivalry between Winthrop and Gloucester. They didn't get a chance to play earlier this year. They will be playing on Friday night, so they're looking forward to it. The other thing was talked with a lot of people about the amount of people who have been going to games this year. And even though the playoffs are over for most of our teams now in the area, I implore people to go out and support the kids, because it's a great take. It's a lot of fun. And these kids work hard. They play hard, but they also work hard. So get out there and watch those games tomorrow night.
All right, gotcha. That's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Special thanks to Greg Virga, Gloucester City Councilor at Large, for joining us today. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Today.